Well, this morning, I just had an awesome time. As we drove here this morning, the sun was rising, and we got a chance to see the sunrise with the cross in the background. And we just pulled over. Fortunately for me, I'm kind of focused when I get focused on some things. And my daughter, she's the artist, and she's like, "Dad, look at the sunrise." And so we pulled over and snapped some photos, and it was just so gorgeous this morning. And I started thinking about how good God is to us, that He is an artist and He creates colors and beauty, and He gives us the ability to see it and appreciate it. Everything could just be shades of gray, right? Everything could just be black and white. Anybody remember a black and white TV? I know I'm dating myself here. But my parents had a black and white TV in the bedroom. And I mean, it was like, well, just watch Andy Griffith in black and white and then watch a color show, right? It's a world of difference. And our Lord is such a good God that He created colors and gave us the ability to see it, to appreciate it, and enjoy it. And so just one more reason for us to celebrate this Christmas season, the goodness and the glory of God as we walk through life. Well, if you have your programs, go ahead and pull those out. And everybody's program, there's a listening guide. And I just put that in there to help you follow along with the message and give you something to take home with you and share at the office or however that may work with you. And we're going to be preaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Page 968 of the Burgundy Bible. If you don't have your own Bibles, you can take one of those home with you. We want everybody to have one with them. So page 968 of the Burgundy Bible. While you're looking there, I thought I might help you with your Christmas shopping. I've been online and looking at some of the latest things that you could purchase for Christmas. And, of course, Star Wars is all the rage right now. And if you want some of the stuff that I had when I was a kid, they even have that for sale. I looked and a Luke Skywalker action figure still in the box is going for a mere $8,000 to $12,000. So, you know, if you want to pick one of those up for the kids to play with in the sandbox, they've got them available still. But maybe that's not your forte. Maybe you like to collect things. I saw where stamps are a positive gift you can give people. The British stamp, the 1 cent British stamp now goes for $3,000. So if you want to get like 60 of them or whatever it is now, you can put them all over your envelope and mail that loved one a precious little Christmas card. Or if you don't like that stamp, you can get the airmail stamp if you want airmail. The upside down 1918 stamp for 24 cents where they printed the plane upside down. A great embarrassment to the post office. But now if you have that embarrassment, it's worth $42,000. So I wouldn't mind if you put that stamp. Of course, it's not enough to pay for first class anymore, but hey, it's worth $42,000. Or if you have a set of Hawaiian missionary stamps, they're actually stamps that they use for the Hawaiian missionaries to send their letters back home to America. If you have a set of 8, those are going for $100,000. And of course, the most expensive, the British Ghana stamp, they only know of one existing, is for sale at $1 million. But maybe that's small change for you guys, and you're really looking for something special for that loved one you have. Janis Joplin's Porsche just sold for $1.7 million. So if you want to pick up a special car, and that if that's too low for your taste, the 1962 Austin Martin just sold for $14.3 million. So if you want a car to kind of just drive around Sunday drives, you know. Or if you want something with a little more pep, they just sold a 1956 Ferrari for $28 million. So is everybody ready to go buy some presents? Right? You ready? Now, what is it about those things that seem so amazing that we would spend that kind of money? I mean, a stamp. A stamp worth 1 cent 100 years ago, now being worth over $1 million. Now, how many of you have those stamps that, you know, you collected as a kid and you threw them away sometime and Now you're wondering what they're actually worth as I'm talking, right? Well, let me just say to you, this season was designed by God, I believe, to teach us about generosity to others and not stuffism for what we can have. And that's what we're going to look at today. Because my challenge to everybody today is that we would look at our lives and ask, how can we be more generous to those around us? How can we seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this season? Seeking those out in need and giving to make a difference to help those around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Paul is speaking to a church. And this church is one that he's helped lead and get healthy, but he's not there right now. And so he's writing them a letter to let them know how they could better serve those around them, how they can grow in Christ. And in this part of the letter, he's telling them that he's about to send someone to them to take up a missions offering. A missions offering for another church that's being persecuted and struggling. And so he's sending someone in advance to prepare their hearts to give the gift that they've already promised. Now, as a church, we take a missions offering each year. The last 3 years, we haven't actually taken it per se because we've taken the building offering and we've tithed off that building offering to missions, which actually usually turns out better than just a missions offering. But they were coming to take a missions offering. And verse 6, here's where we pick up. Paul says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will produce and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to speak to us. Lord, you are so generous to us. We don't deserve it, but you give so graciously. And Father, we live in the richest land, and yet there are still those around us in need. Lord, help us to be generous, not just this Christmas season, but help us to be generous every season of our lives, to those around us, to the work of your ministry, to taking the gospel around the world, and being generous not just in finances, but with our time, with our love, with our friendship. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, if you have your listening guide, the first thing I want you to see is that God's generosity toward us is in direct proportion to our generosity towards others. Verse 6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, this principle to me is one that says, as I'm generous with others, the Heavenly Father, who owns everything and has unlimited resources, choose to give back to me so that I can be generous again to others. Bible says, whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. So if you sow generous living, if you sow this idea of generosity, then you will reap generosity from the Lord and from others. And I see this so many times. Oftentimes I hear people talk about rich people and critically speak against them. And yet some of the wealthiest people I know are some of the most generous people I know. And they've been that way all through their lives. And I see God continually blessing them. And I was talking to one of my friends and he sees himself as this pipeline. That as the Lord blesses him, his responsibility then is greater each time to share that in the most beneficial way for those around him to bless them and to serve others. And I see also generosity. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. I've seen stingy rich people and stingy poor people. I've seen generous rich people and generous poor people. We're all called to be the hands and feet of Jesus when it comes to generosity. And we're all called to give to the glory of God. And Paul's saying in them, we give, and the way that God blesses is in direct proportion to what we give. Well, I find there's different fun ways to give. One of the fun ways we give, we talked about last week, was giving through the church. And we talked about all the ministries and the partnerships that we get to do as a church to serve this community. And so I believe in that. I believe in that as far as like the missions offering that we're taking this month. But there's also some other fun ways. And usually I think you will enjoy giving the most when it's something that's close to you. So, for example, I find folks that struggled as a child and didn't have toys when they were growing up, that they really enjoy Toys for Tots and providing Christmas gifts for people at Christmas time. That's awesome. I find other people that struggled to have good meals when they were growing up and have food provided for them, they have a real heart to provide meals for those that don't have that. I find people that were close to missionaries and saw the struggle that they had financially, that their hearts are broken to give towards those on mission for God. And I want to encourage you to give joyfully, to find that area that you love to see, that you love to bless people, but find that area and give generously. And let yourself just be this pipeline of generosity to others around you. Now, it gets a little sticky when you give to people you know. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot more fun to give anonymously in that way. But you have to be careful. You don't want to like give anonymously like a meal and all this food to people and drop it on their front porch if they have a dog. You got to be careful. I've seen that happen before. You got to be careful of misplaced generosity. One of the youth groups, not this one here, but another one was going around to do random acts of kindness. And so they chose to cut grass, but they cut the wrong yard, and the youth group cut the yard of a person that manicured their yard, and they were quite upset about it. And so you have to be wise with your generosity, right? You have to be wise with the way you place it. But one of my favorites that someone taught me is the holy handshake. You know the holy handshake? When I left to go to seminary, I had a friend teach me the holy handshake. I was going out by faith and didn't know how the Lord was going to provide. I had enough money for gas and to pay my tuition, and that was about it. But I was just believing that God was going to get me there and provide. And as I went to leave, I had a brother in the Lord that shook my hand. And as he shook my hand, there was this weird feeling in there. And he just smiled at me and he said, "Hey, brother, we're praying for the best. I hope this is a blessing to you." And he turned and walked away. And I wisely thought, this is like undercover, like 007 stuff. I'm not supposed to like pull it out now, you know. So I snuck it in my pocket and said bye to everybody else. And then after he left, I pulled it out as a $100 bill. I was like, hallelujah. Woo! That was a big day for me. I was excited. And every time I came home to visit, I would see this brother. And every time he'd give me that holy handshake, I just had to come home more often. You know, it's like home's a good place. It's a good place. People love me. And I learned from his example. He never mentioned it. He never wanted me to mention it. He just wanted me to know that he believed in me and believed in what I was doing. And this was a way he could bless me. And so I've taken that. I want to challenge you to practice the holy handshake. I don't know where you're at financially, but maybe it's a $5 bill. Maybe it's a $20 bill. Maybe it's a $50 bill. Maybe it's $100. And you keep that in your wallet. And you just, you keep your heart open to when the Lord wants you to be generous to someone with a holy handshake, or put it in an envelope and anonymously just slip it on someone's desk at work. Maybe somebody that you know is going through a tough time, and you just say, hey, I know it's tough right now. We just had a place close nearby, a company that just shut their doors, and got an email from the family saying, man, this, nobody expected it. Nobody saw it coming. Pray for us. You know? And when we're in close contact, we have the chance to be the hand of generosity for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I just encourage you, look for ways to be generous. And I find that as I've been generous, as that person was generous to me, it was like this chain event. Now I want to be generous to others, right? And it's more fun. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you catch on to that, you'll discover he's right. In the short run, it's like, I don't know. It just seems like it's a whole lot of fun to get more stuff, isn't it? But when you learn to be a giver, you learn to discover it's more blessed to give than receive. Second thing is that generosity is a matter of the heart more than the wallet. In verse 7, he says this, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Over and over again in Scripture, it talks about the heart being right in the gift. It talks about giving joyfully and cheerfully and as an act of worship to God Himself. Whether it be your tithing or whether it be your offering, it is to be a gift out of your heart with joy. Because you know that it brings pleasure to the heart of God. And so, as you think about giving with the right heart, what I want to challenge you is to pray. As we're looking at this missions gift, there's an offering envelope. And somebody said, well, how do I know what goes to what? Well, the missions offering is the 5555 missions offering. And I'm challenging everybody to pray about what you would do this year for the special missions offering. Some of it will stay local. Some will go global. But all of it will make a difference when it comes to getting the good news of Christ around the world and helping those in our community and around the world. But I don't want you to give because I'm up here going to tell you about somebody that, you know, has a desperate need. I don't want you to give because you think that we can't carry on financially, if you don't give. I don't want you to ever give out of compulsion or coercion or pressure, but out of a heart of listening to the Lord and being obedient to what God tells you. That's what giving is about. And so I came across this story that I read, powerful story. When you think about giving, and do you have to be rich to give a lot, or can poor people give? What does that look like? Came across a story, true story, of a writer in Chicago. By his own profession, he wasn't a believer at the time, and he had found out about a couple that was a family that was greatly impoverished. It was a grandmother that was having to raise her 12 and 13-year-old granddaughters. Wasn't her plan, but because of circumstances of life, that was the way it took place. And she had this very small set amount that she received every month to live on. And all of a sudden, she's having to provide for these two children as well. And the writer heard about this lady and her two grandkids and decided to just go visit and see what the situation was really like. And as the writer visited with them, he said he was amazed. He walked in and there was nothing on the walls. Very simple apartment, one bedroom for the three of them. As he talked, he found out that they pretty much lived off rice and beans and water. Very simple life. And that between the two girls, they only had one sweater. And they would walk to school, and as they walked to school, that they would share the sweater halfway so that neither of the two would freeze as they walked to school. Well, this writer, who wasn't a follower of Christ at the time, had his heart broken, and he wrote an article telling how we, at this time of Christmas, need to continue to be generous because there are still those in need. And he wrote the article hoping that others might jump in and help and put their information. He decided on Christmas Eve to go by and see if it had made a difference. And as he knocked on the door, they opened the door, and the room was full of stuff. Just packages and packages and packages. And oh, it was overflowing. He was filled with joy because of what had happened, the outpouring of the community for this family. But as he walked in, he started talking to the grandmother, and he noticed that there was one section that was just, the biggest section was still piled in a corner, and it was still unopened. And I should tell you that the grandmother was a woman of great faith. And she had prayed that God would provide. And so her perspective was God sent this non-believer to her to make the needs known that God might provide through others. And so he spoke to the lady and he said, I'm just curious, what is this big old pile of stuff over here that is yet to be opened? She said, oh, that's the giveaways. He said, the giveaways? What do you mean the giveaways? She said, well, God has provided more than our need here. We each have a coat. We each have our needs provided. We have food in the refrigerator. She said, but the other people in my apartment complex, they don't have this. She said, so we've set aside what we need, and now we're going to give all that away. And she just had a glow and a joy about her. And he went home that night, he said, just convicted of how much he had and how he's not looked around to those around him to see the needs. And how this woman had so little, and yet as soon as the Lord blessed her, she was choosing to be this conduit of blessing to those around her. What a great picture of being in the hands and feet of Jesus when it comes to giving to those around us. Well, the third thing in this passage is that God rewards the generous, ... Why? So that they can get a brand new car. Did you see that? Did you see that? That's in there. That's right. No, God rewards the generous so that they can sell the house that they're in and get one five times as big as they need, so that they can have a bigger house than the people down the street and rub it in their noses, right? No. This is the difference between the prosperity gospel and the generosity gospel. You see, the prosperity gospel says you give to the church or the evangelist or whoever it is. You give and you give what you don't even have so that God is going to give you 100 times more and you can go buy the car of your dreams. That's the prosperity gospel. You give to this person, and I'm not going to name any names, but I was shocked. I was shocked to learn of a specific pastor that preaches and tells you to give to the work of the ministry, and he's living in a $14 million house. I'm sorry. I just don't see the need for a $14 million house. Now, maybe if you're like holding church for the poor in the house, and you've turned it into a house of worship, you know. But see, that's the prosperity gospel. You need to give so that you can be blessed by God with more stuff. The generosity gospel that's in the Word of God is you need to be blessed by God so that you can be more generous to others around you. So you can be more generous to those in need and to the work of the gospel to spread the good news around the world to those who've not yet heard it. Look at what he says here in this passage. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over. Why? To share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. He's quoting from Proverbs here. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will always be enriched in every way. Why? ... Here it is. So that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. That's awesome. He gives us the direction right here. Why be generous? It's to meet the needs and to bring glory to God. God calls us to do this for two reasons. First, it will meet the needs of those less fortunate and ministries. And let me tell you, the missions offering you're giving to, part of it's going to go to what's the International Mission Board. And this last year, due to some situations in the world, the situations their giving hasn't kept up with the increased cost. And they're talking about having to bring over 600 missionaries home because of lack of giving. And so for me, it's like, man, I don't want to see that happen. And some of those are my friends that are over there that may be coming home. And so for us as a church, we want to give. We give every month to that. We give every month to missions. But this is just one extra boost we can give to the work of the kingdom. And then the second reason, it brings glory to God. And this is why giving, somehow I believe it's important to attach it to the King of Kings. You know, I don't just give to everybody. Okay, you may think I'm a Scrooge at this point, but let me explain. I quit giving money to people that hold up signs on the side of the road. Because I know that I'm giving resources from the King of Kings, and I'm giving out of joy, not out of pressure or guilt. And so now when I stop by somebody on the side of the road and they've got a sign, I offer something different. This last week, matter of fact, we pulled off at Highway 111, and there was a fellow holding a sign there. Anything will help. We looked around to see if we had some granola bars. All the time we carry food in the car because we get hungry, right? And nothing was there. And so we drove on, and I thought, what could we do? So I pulled back around and pulled in next to him. And I just said, hey, my kids and I, we're about to go to our home and have dinner. Would you like to come home with us and join us for dinner? And he respectfully and politely said, no, thank you. That's not what I'm needing right now. I said, okay, well, if you'd like to, we'd be glad to take you home with us. No, you have a good day. And sadly, not everybody that's asking for money is in need of it for the right things and the right purposes. And don't let anybody guilt you into giving. Give out of a joyful heart to things that will make a difference, to lives that will be changed for the glory of God, so that people will be drawn to the hope of God and it'll make a change. And I just encourage you, man, what would happen? Think about it. I don't know how many of you go off 111 if the guy will be back there again today. But what would happen if 100 people getting off of that exit said, hey, you want to come to lunch with me? You want to come to lunch with me? Or just handing a loaf of bread. And the guy said, no more bread. I've got 100 loaves of bread. Tell those river people to quit bringing bread. I mean, what would happen if we were proactive about giving and intentional in those moments instead of reactive? How cool would that be? Now, the fourth thing is, we talk about giving brings glory to God. I think you'll give the greatest glory when you give in obedience to the Spirit as He moves in your heart. And that looks different for everybody. Like I said, some of you, we're going to have a video in a little bit about an offering moment of a ministry called Rising Above that we partner with. An awesome ministry that we partner with in ministering special needs community. They had over 220 people here last night for their Christmas banquet, worshiping our King and our Savior. How awesome is that? And we get to partner with them. We get to part. I love investing in ministries that shape lives. And it's part of the joy that we have as a church and as individuals. But some folks are drawn to that. Others are drawn to Young Life. Others are drawn to youth mission trips. Others are drawn to ministry in Cuba or the Syrian, Christian Syrian refugee crisis. We've given to that as well. We are called to give, and let the Spirit prompt you and give joyfully and generously when He does. Well, the last thing, it all comes back to God's generous gift of Christ. That's what it all comes back to. You know what? If you drop $1,000 in and your heart doesn't know Christ, you're missing the whole purpose of what we're talking about here. It's not about money. It's about our heart. It's about a heart relationship with the Creator of the universe that designs you to love Him and to love people. I read a quote one time that said, anyone can give without loving, but Christians can't love without giving. And that first gift is your heart to Christ. Look what he says here in 14 to 15. He says, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift. Two wonderful four words. This gift that he's talking about is this grace gift of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. This grace gift that he's given us, I mean, at Christmas time, this is the season. And it needs to be shared with all your friends, all your neighbors, all your co-workers. Three times in the year, people are most likely to go to church. Christmas season, New Year's for New Year's resolution, and Easter. We've got two of those weeks coming up over the next 4 weeks. And I want to challenge you to give your friends and family the gift of love to help them understand the grace of Christ. Invite them to come. Maybe Christmas Eve is better. Maybe next Sunday, Christmas Sunday. We'll celebrate Christmas Sunday next week. Maybe that's the week to invite them. But I want to challenge you, invite them to come and hear about this grace. And maybe you're here today and maybe you know Christ, but you aren't walking with Him right now because of struggles and doubts and fears. And you just need to experience His love today and His grace. Maybe you're here today and you've yet to ever give your heart over to Him. And let me invite you today to surrender it all to Him and experience His grace. I want to ask you to bow your head with me this morning. God is a generous God. He gives us the beauty of the sunrise in the morning to remind us of His love to start the day, and the beauty of the sunset in the evening to remind us of His love as we go to bed. Even though we have messed up, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, His love is not conditional upon whether or not we've been good or bad. It's not Santa Claus' list. You know, I've talked to parents, and they talk about them using that as a way to try to coerce their kids to behave. Listen, God is not up there making a list if you're good or bad, naughty and nice. He's up there saying, I want you to be my child. I have this amazing gift to give you, eternal life. I have this amazing gift to give you of unconditional love. And He is waiting for us to open the package ourselves, to give our life to Him and receive this grace gift that He's offering us. If you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to pray a prayer of love to the Father, to the Creator of the universe, giving your life over to Him today. If God is speaking you to do that now, pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me. Dear Heavenly Father, today I give you my life. Please forgive me for the sin I've committed in my past. Today I want to become your child and receive your generous gift. And I will give you my life. I pray this in the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.